Sleep last night?
Very little.
Yeah, me too.
Very little. So, buenos dias. Me llamo es Brandon. Hola. So, I have now used up all of my Spanish words, and so we're going to do the rest of this in English. I'm going to ask for some grace this morning. I'm going to do something that James always tells me not to do, and that's I'm going to try to wing it this morning. James asked me to come up and just share a little bit about what our week looked like this past week, and so I'm going to walk you through what that looked like. This was the first time that I got to go on this trip. We've been in your seats the last 4 years and watched the team come back, and I've always wanted to be a part of that and experience that, and so this year my daughter Hannah and I got to go. And it was truly a blessing. It was something that I know that we will never forget. So I'm going to walk you through the days and kind of what our time looked like. So we started each morning with a devotion, and that was always a very sweet time. We got together at 7:30, 8 o'clock as a group, and it was just our group. And we prayed for the day, and we prayed for the team. And we had everyone took turns leading a devotion, and so it was just a great time and a great way to start the day. Billy had our first one. It was a great devotion, and it was about, you know, not growing weary and doing good. And as he was preaching, we were all drawn in, but then all of God's creation continued to come in. And so you can see Billy was not fazed at all. He knew exactly what to do. When the donkey comes in, you pray for the donkey. And so I love this because the donkey closed his eyes. But it was great. Billy, that's why he's an elder here. He knows how to handle situations like that. But after the devotion, we would all go and have breakfast. And prior to going down, I was fully prepared to eat nothing but rice and beans for a week. And that was not true. I think all of us came back having gained weight. After this past week, we ate great. Our breakfasts and lunches and dinners were just fantastic. They took great care of us. After breakfast, we would load up in the van, and we would head over to the Life Center. And this is where there were about 25 orphans and host families, and this was where we would do our work for the week. This was the construction crew. It's a motley-looking crew, but we worked hard. And Christ Point, you would be very proud of how you were represented down there. Not that it was a competition, but we wanted to be the best. And so we left, and they told us that you were the fastest, most efficient, and hardest-working team that they had had down all year. So we were the best. We won. But it was great, and it was so cool. Everyone pitched in. We worked hard for about 3-4 hours in the morning, and we were mixing concrete, we were loading blocks, we were hauling cement and rocks and sand up to the second floor of the building. Everyone participated, whether they were tying rebar, spreading concrete on the floors. I don't know, for those of you that have kids, I sometimes asking my daughters to pick their shoes up out of the floor is like I've asked them to build the Egyptian pyramids sometimes. But when we were in Honduras, these kids worked so hard and never complained, worked their tails off for the whole week. And it was awesome to see that and to see everyone getting in, getting dirty and sweaty, but just doing a labor of love and building what's going to be a second building there at the Life Center. So the building they have now houses the 25 kids and the host families, and they're going to have something that'll do just the same right beside it. So it was great to be a part of that. We worked all morning, and then we had lunch. They catered lunch for us there on the property, and it was delicious. We would get back in the van, and we'd head back to the hotel, and we'd have a quick wardrobe change. We had about 30, 45 minutes before we got back into the van. And then we did one of two things. For 3 days, we did something called Sidewalk Sunday School. And we went to three different villages where there were schools, and the somewhere in between 200 and, is that, look at Billy, John, stop. That's not nice. That is not why I put that picture up there. But this is an example of the first Sidewalk Sunday School. So there's about 150 kids at this one, and we pulled up in the van, and we kick out a few soccer balls, and the girls would come out, and they'd make bracelets for the girls. They'd paint fingernails. We did crafts. And we spent about an hour just playing with the kids and loving on them. John picked up every kid and threw them in the air, and then it was a really fun time. I will tell you, though, that we got out and we played soccer. I was always on the soccer crew, and we kicked the balls out, and I thought it would be fun to do this. These kids are mercenaries on the soccer field. They look sweet right now in these pictures, but they were ruthless on the soccer field. And so the first day, we lost the soccer game. It was the Americans versus the Hondurans, and we lost something like 85-1 was the score. What's that? Oh, I thought, no, they were little, but this was their home court, and so they had an advantage. The next day when we went to Sidewalk Sunday School, our prayer looked a little different. We pull up and we say, God, just bless this time with the kids. Bless, give us strength, give us the power to be able to point to you over the next couple of hours, and just let us love these kids well. But first, let us kick their butts in soccer. And so we won the next 2 days. We actually beat them. And it was, I don't feel bad about that because, I mean, it was, we wanted to win. But it was a great time. After we played with them and we did crafts, we did a couple songs that we prepared. And Billy did his motions and movements to the songs. And then we did a story. We did a skit with Jesus, about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And we did it in Spanish. Very, very bad Spanish. But we did it. 3 days in a row, we told the feeding of the 5,000. We had our own Jesus. We had a couple disciples. We had pescados and pan. Only our fish and bread, and it was great. I think the kids understood what we were saying, but we just prayed that God would translate for us and that they would walk away and understand the lesson. After we did that, we got back in the bus, went back to the hotel for another wardrobe change because we sweated through probably 3 sets of clothes each day. We had about an hour, and then we'd have dinner. And a few nights during the week, we had dinner over at the Life Center with the kids. And one night, we actually asked the host families to go out. We gave them a date night to where they could go and enjoy some time by themselves, and we watched the kids. Or the kids watched us. I don't know. It was great. We had a great time just loving on them and getting to know them and building those relationships. On the days where we did not do the Sidewalk Sunday Schools, we did something this was the piece that was probably the most impactful for me, is that we did food distribution. We would go into the villages and we would, this was powerful. I told you this was the part that really impacted me, because this is where you really see the need in Honduras. Let me put this down. So we would go into the villages, and we did this twice. And each time we did it, we went into 5 different homes. And we would take the food, and we would take food for probably enough for about 2 weeks. And we'd walk into their homes, and their homes, they were small buildings with walls that were made of cardboard and dirt floors, sometimes housing up to 6 people in these little homes, very, very, very hard conditions. And we'd walk in, and we'd ask if we could pray for them, and we'd ask specifically what we would pray for. And it was a lot of health. There was a lot of sickness there. There was a lot of people needing work, needing food. And so we would pray for their physical needs. We would pray for their spiritual needs, their salvation. And we would just lay hands on them, and we would ask blessings over their home and the food that we had brought. And it was just It was just amazing to be able to walk in there and to love on these people. We thought we were taking a blessing to them, but they blessed us so much more. And they would turn around and they would pray for us and they would thank us. It just meant a lot to be there and to see that. And Christ Point, I just want to tell you thank you for those of you that helped to send us. It was a blessing. You gave a blessing to the people down there that desperately need it. And so thank you so much for allowing us to go. For those of you that prayed for us while we were on the trip, we felt it. And we had the strength, we had energy, we were safe. We were healthy for the most part. All of us had moments where we felt a little queasy, but for the most part, we were all healthy. And so we felt your prayers, and we just really appreciate everything that you did to help send us. I think I covered most of it, but I do want to tell you it was an amazing time. As a first-timer, I would encourage you, if you have the opportunity to go, you should go. It's something that you need to experience, and something that I know it has changed my life, and I know it would change yours too. So at this time, we're going to ask Billy and the team to come up. And I think Billy's going to share with you a little bit more about the trip. And
yep. Thanks, dude. Thank you. I got to get this other microphone. Is this the one you said, Seth? I have no idea how to turn this on. Oh yeah, we were just, if ever anybody else wants to come up, they can. We were just going to have the ones that are talking to. I'm going to stand over here to the side because it's good to be here. Thanks for as Brandon said, for sending us. Do I smell or something? Okay, I want to. Just ask a few questions to the team here. You know who you are, so those of you that are prepared to say something, first, tell us about your experience for those of you that are going that went for the first time. There are a handful of you that have not been before. Tell us your thoughts. How was it compared to your expectations? What you thought might happen that did happen or didn't happen? And what you think from there. No, they've got, y'all have the microphone? I guess I'm going to stand down here because I can't see. Can you hear?
Go ahead. Oh, okay. So this was my first time to go. John and Emma went 5 years ago, and I was a little jealous that they got to go, but my little kids were too young, and so we couldn't all go. So this is our first time to go as a family, and it was... because I'd heard so much about it from them and just from the other people that had gone, I thought I had an idea of what this would be like, and I really wasn't prepared. I wasn't prepared for the joy and the happiness that we saw. I think I thought I would just see sadness and devastation and despair. I think that's what I thought. And instead, we went to this life center with children who had come out of poverty and despair and were living in this beautiful home with people that loved them. And their joy and happiness was so apparent. They were just joy. And I didn't know that I would see that. Anyone else have thoughts on that?
I got it. Russ. Is this one working?
Yes.
So this was my first time doing international missions, and Ian, my son, his first time as well. I think for me, I pretty much was going in preparing for the absolute worst. I think I had most of that covered. Could pretty much...
Not everything.
Yeah, I got a head cold while I was down there, the one thing I wasn't expecting to get. And then kind of allowing myself to be pleasantly surprised if it was better than that, right? And by Wednesday, I was, just sharing with some folks just how far God exceeded my expectations and just how much joy that brought me. And I went from being there trying to, you know, figure out if this is something that I felt called to do, to not wanting to leave by Friday. Like, it was beautiful, you know, incredibly beautiful. The place is, you know, one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to. But that's only in contrast to the great need, both spiritual and physical. And so, I felt very blessed that God was there and showed up and exceeded my prayers.
This is my first time going, and I went in expecting to get sick, and honestly, and no big deal, but I think I was the only one who didn't get sick. No big deal, but Honduras exceeded my expectations in a way that I wasn't expecting. I think I saw how God works joy into these kids' lives, and their lives were so like boiled down to like a raw nothing, and they had so much joy to share for like us, and they had so much energy, and I can only assume that they give that much energy every week. And so I got to see like how God works his joy into a life that has, I'm so fortunate, and I could never be as joyful as they are. Well, I can, but.
Switch.
There we go. Oh, okay. So on, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, we went to the Life Center. Then the kids had all cooked us a meal, and they were super excited to invite us in. And Danny, one of the guys there, he asked if anyone wanted to pray, and one of the little kids came up, and he was going to pray for us, pray for our meal, pray for us, thanking us that we were there. And, you know, he's talking in Spanish, and Danny's translating, and one of the things he said, he was praying for the ones that had less than him. He was thanking God for the stuff that he had, and he was praying for those and the kids that did not have what he had. And it just hit me. I was like, I mean, he doesn't have that much, and he's praying for those others in need that have less than him, and he is so content and happy with what he has. And I'm just thinking about that when I come back and how that just impacts me. Like, I just want to be content with what I have and just be happy and use what God gave me to just, you know, be content and happy with what I have. So,
thanks, Henry. He's now officially Hank, but we're going to call him Henry for now. So the next question is to to a couple of the parents. John, can you start, if you can grab the mic? You took your whole family and pets and relatives. Tell us what it was like to have your kids there, and how that influenced or impacted your experience.
I think the best part was every time we went anywhere, we were always the ones holding up everything. Like, customs was like 45 minutes longer, and you guys should see the other guy, though. Seriously, I learned how to say that in Spanish. I hit my eye, in case you can't see it, I have a black eye. I hit my eye in a pole playing soccer with orphans. They're seriously strong players. super proud about that. You know what? I was blown away to see not only my kids, but the boys that went too, and Hannah, that I include Hannah in our family. We adopted her during, yeah. Just how hard they work. Like, I was impressed by no complaint. I now know that they can do work without complaining, and that they can smile during it. And I'm thankful for the perspective that God gave them on this trip, and me, frankly, to watch them. Man, just to see kids minister to kids, So I've got three teenage girls. We've got Hannah, we've got Ian, Cademan, Hank, Noah. Like, to see kids ministering to kids is an amazing thing. And we had also these two ladies and two young men that were kind of our host people on the trip that kind of hosted us from CIM. They were called interns, or they are interns. And to see them minister to my kids and my kids minister to younger kids was just a godly thing. It was awesome. And I am I'm just blown away by how hard our kids work, but bigger than that, like to see Jesus work through them during this last week was pretty darn impactful for me.
Heidi? Yeah. Heidi, share a few.
Same. I was so happy. My prayer going into this that was that our family and my children specifically would have a heart for service, whatever that looks like, however God's called them to that. But, you know, we just get so comfortable in our everyday, like, I've got so much to do today, and I'm running. And I set the tone for that in my home, and so does John. And our kids follow suit, and they just go. And not often do we stop and think about how we can serve others, if I'm being really honest. And so my prayer was for us to have a minute to just see how we can serve. And I realize this is an extreme. We're in another country. But I feel like it developed a heart of service in all of these kids, that they could look at those interns and say, gosh, I could see these interns who gave their summer up for free to serve in Honduras, and that my girls specifically, I think, and I think all the kids there could just look at those older kids and go, okay, I could maybe not do that exact thing, but I could see how that could look. And I want that for my kids. And that was
great.
Good
point. Good point. Russ.
Yeah. So I echo what John was saying. I just was incredibly impressed with Ian specifically and all the kids. Just how hard they worked, and they got up every day, and you know, maybe they didn't ache as much as I did because I'm older, but they didn't show it, and they were joyfully serving, doing hard labor on that building, and then going out and with joy, loving on the kids in the community. And so it was, I was probably feeding off of their energy myself. Because I know here I don't have that type of energy. I want to take naps every afternoon. I want to, you know, go to bed early. And so it was just great. I don't think it would have been as impactful if the kids hadn't been there. And I also want to say I loved the time that Ian and I had in the morning before we did devotionals. Him and I got to kind of just talk and think about the day and ask God, like, how, you know, to kind of provide again to get us, you know, for that day. And then at the end of the day, just sort of just decompress, just kind of, you know, like, how did we see God kind of answer that prayer? And so that was just, it was just a cool cadence that we kind of got into with that. And I want to carry that further now that we're back here and make that kind of just a part of our lives. So.
Awesome. Thanks. Emma, question for you. You've been before. It was a few years, then you went again. How does this compare? What was the same? What was different? What will you remember? Just share a few thoughts on your experience.
Yeah, I think the first year I went, it was 5 years ago, so I was 12. And I had a relationship with Jesus, but coming here, I think I had a stronger relationship with Jesus, so it's cool to see how that compared and, like, how I, this year, I was able to, every morning when I woke up, it was just like, okay, Lord, open my eyes to you and, like, let me see you today. And I think I really, this time was more impactful to me because of how I've grown in my relationship with the Lord. One thing I will probably always remember was when we were doing food distribution, we went down this really big hill and we were waiting for the family to come in so we could come pray for them and bring them their food. And when the father of the house came in, he was absolutely beaming. He was so excited that we were there. And they had just built this house, and it was dirt floors and made out of wood and tin. But he was so proud of it. And he was so happy that we were there, and he got to welcome us into his home. And I just think I really saw Jesus in that they did not have much at all, like barely surviving. They had three kids that they were trying to provide for, but he was so happy that he got to welcome us into his home. And so I think that's something I'll always remember.
Good. Thanks for sharing that. A couple of you, John and maybe Russ. Or actually, I'd like to have a female perspective. So maybe John and Heidi. No offense, Russ.
Am I the female side? Or?
Yeah, well, that's a very interesting question. We're not going to answer that here, truthfully. But no, I'm kidding. So I know it's very early. You've barely slept. A lot of times these trips can kind of change our perspective, maybe change our life, change our priorities, kind of reorganize things from a top-down or bottom-up perspective. Do you have any initial thoughts on that? I know that's kind of putting you on the spot because you haven't been, yeah, I can tell he's putting him on the spot. He's giving the microphone to her. But any initial thoughts on where from here and how this might factor into your life back here?
Well, we've only been home, you know, like 10 hours. So, I mean, this morning I woke up and on my really comfortable bed with clean sheets and air conditioning, and I put my feet on really soft carpet and I made my coffee and with tap water. and none of that went unnoticed this morning. And I'm sure every day it will probably go a little bit less noticed. But this morning I said, God, thank you for air conditioning. And when I think about the kids who we left at the Life Center, they really do have a future in front of them because of so many of you who are sponsoring, and for people who have gone, they really have a beautiful future. But we got to see this really full circle. So there was a mom while we were there at the Life Center. They got news that there was a mom that was leaving her three boys there, and she was going to be coming out of some of these villages that we had visited and brought food to. So we saw firsthand the poverty and the, I mean, there was joy, but there was a lot of sadness in these villages. And so this woman had come from this village, and she was giving up three boys. She had three girls. They were homeless, and her and her girls were going to stay together. And she was sending her three boys to live at this Life Center. And we were there when she left them there and when the mom got to come and visit. And just to see that and just to know, like, how little there is and how much we have. I might forget a little bit every day, but I'll never forget. I'll never forget that will stay with me forever. And watching that mom leave her kids and knowing that those kids probably are going to have a better future because of that. But I can't imagine saying goodbye to my kids and driving away. So that'll never, ever leave me. And we got to sponsor the boys, so we're really excited about that.
Yeah, on that note, I'm going to make a plug. Go on your phones right now, cinonline.org. What's cool about this organization is for $75, they get four sponsors for $75 for each kid. So $300 a month covers, like, food, clothes, transportation. Think about shuttle. There's 30 kids in there, 28 now. Like, think about shuttling 28 kids around Honduras. It ain't easy. So there's, like, expenses to that. There's school clothes, books, all that stuff. $75 helps you sponsor a kid. So they don't typically, thank the Lord, they don't typically have kids available to sponsor. During our time there, three kids showed up that need sponsorship. And so I would encourage you to pray about just, even if it's $75 a month, even if it's something less than that, like, help sponsors. I would love for 12 sponsorships is what we need to help these boys be fully sponsored. If it came from Christ Point, like, praise the Lord. So there's my plug. How it changes me, man, we are different people. We have different skill sets. All of us sitting here in this church, we have different skill sets. God doesn't need me, but there is amazing joy in using what the skills that God has given me to go, like, spread the gospel. And if I do it alone, it's not going to be nearly as impactful as if 15 people go together. Like, if my five people in my family go, it's a different face of Jesus, hands and feet of Jesus going into these communities than if I walk in there. If there's 15 of us that go, like, man, think about the picture of Jesus that comes out through 15 people. And it, like, look, we're not like super Christians. We just are like going. Like, just put a foot in front of the other and go. But I love to see how God uses, like, the various gifts that we have sitting on the stage and, frankly, in this auditorium or whatever it is, how he uses that. And so for me, the way it changes it is God wants me to use my gifts that he's given me. Like, I have a gift to throw kids in the air. Like, praise the Lord. I need to throw kids in the air more often. So if you have a kid and they're small-ish, I'm going to throw them in the air. Like, God needs that. Like, God's going to use that well. God's going to use it well for Hank to be able to play instrument and use his voice and the skills that he's given. God's going to use gifts that every one of these people up here and every person here, God can use your gifts. So I guess my encouragement, the way it changes me is, like, I just want to do that. I want to use the gifts God's given me. And I would say that, like, sometimes I do that okay. This last week was awesome. It was fun because I got to use those gifts. And there's such great joy in using the gifts that God's given us to serve the Lord. Like, they're his gifts. It's his money, by the way. CIONOnline.org. It's God's money anyway. Go give it to the kids. Like, that, God's using those dollars. You can use your talents and gifts.
Thanks, John. Wrapping up, Russ, what would you say to somebody who, I thought it was very courageous for you to have not gone and to take your son on your first time going? That's pretty risky, just from an emotional standpoint, because you hadn't been before. So my question for someone who's on the fence or thinking about it, maybe starting to bandy about, hey, should I go next time? What would you say to them? Why go? And why especially take your kid if you have one? Or what are your thoughts on that? How would you answer that?
So first, I just want to acknowledge what John said. I didn't know him that well before this, and I was sitting next to him on the first day, and the first thing he said is, I just need to go out there and throw some kids. And so, and I was like, I love this guy. That's the exact opposite of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the exact opposite of me. I'm not going to go out there and just throw some kids around. And he ran off of that. I think you even asked, like, for permission, and then you ignored whatever they said. They basically said, John, the interns, use your best judgment, and that was all he needed. And so, but yeah, I mean, I even and just what John just said about going, you know, I just was reminded all week about Ephesians 2:10, that you know, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared for us beforehand. And so, you know, I was taking my 11-year-old son. I am, you know, I won't show a lot of emotion, but that doesn't mean that I am not processing all of that beforehand. And so I had 40 bags of stuff individually set aside for every possible thing that could happen while I was there. I just wanted to be prepared for whatever happened. And that was very comforting. But I landed in Honduras, and I within 24 hours I'd forgotten about all of those fears and concerns. I mean, I was glad I brought the stuff. Trust me, I used a lot of it. But even there, in fearing for Ian, that, like, man, I'm gonna have to keep an eye, like 4 eyes on him, and I even stopped worrying about that, because, you know, as a family, everyone was sort of keeping an eye on everyone. The people in Honduras were incredibly kind, incredibly thankful. There wasn't, like, I dropped this sort of, like, I need to be on guard. I need to be kind of keeping things, you know, I'm the dad. And it was just, I don't know, it was just fun for me to be able to let go of that and let Ian kind of just do his own thing without me kind of hovering over him, too. And so I say that. On the one hand, God took that away within 24 hours. I just forgot about my fears, which was just an answer to prayer. But then to go back to the Ephesians verse, there was another verse. I don't know if it was you, in a, about the God going before you, who used it in the devotion, and God being behind you. Or Phil. It's Phil. Phil did his devotion, and he referenced a scripture where God's always before you and God is always behind you. And so he's kind of this picture of God kind of couching you in as you move, you know, into places that he's sending you. And so I, man, that just brought me so much comfort. And I was glad it was early in the week because I hung on to that promise. And then that in the Ephesians promise, you know, if you have a desire and an opportunity to go, then just trust. Just lean on those promises in Scripture that God, you know, has already prepared you for it. And he's going to be there in it. He's already gone before you. And he's going to be there after you. And so, you know, just step in with faith and have joy knowing that, you know, God has saved you and called you to do that good work. And so that's
a good word. Thank you, Russ. Thank you all for sharing. One thing that's interesting, and I'll pray right quick, that we joked about things we would talk about here. And one of the things we were talking about that we haven't even covered was that I think literally I had the best cup of coffee in my life in Honduras at a place called Frank's Coffee. Everyone immediately, I mean, we were going to like bombard Frank Pounds with that. We haven't even talked about the things that we experienced there that were really cool that are just cool from being in a different country. And that's what is amazing about the impact of this trip is that we did talk about those things and how we can share that. But when we get up here, ultimately the things that really, really matter are what's going on the inside and what God's doing to project that and change us from the inside out. And so there's a lot more stories. Feel free to grab any of these folks. I'm just honored to be a part of this team. So I'm going to pray right quick, and then James will come back. Father, thank you for this team. Thank you for this time. Thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you for bringing us back. We do pray for Phil, who is a team member that's in recovery from a cold and unable to be here. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for calling us to go and using us for your work. The absolute stunning mystery of why you use broken people to save your people is so humbling and so honoring and so mystifying because we don't feel qualified, but you show up over and over and over. You make us so glad we went. Whatever you do in us, I pray that you continue to do that. I pray that for everybody here, that in their going, even locally and globally or anywhere in between, that we would feel the joy and the full-heartedness of knowing and experiencing your purpose for our life. It is staggering. And thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the beautiful reality that you are in Honduras before we got there. You're still there. You know every nook and cranny of those people's lives. And so we can trust them. We can trust that you have them in your care. Thank you for changing us. Continue to do that. Just continue to do that. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks, Billy. Thanks, team. All right, I'm not going to preach for 40 minutes. All right, we have ice cream, so I'm on the clock. But give me like 7 minutes, and I want to show you a video of what took place when we were there. Three things really quickly. I was laughing. I was standing in the back just listening to people talk, and I think they probably said this better than I could, but I'm going to say it anyway. I want to share with you three things. Number one, I want to encourage you to do push-ups with friends. Do push-ups with friends. Monday morning before the crew went to do heavy construction, heavy lifting for hours and hours and hours, there was a group of men who may not be the smartest men in the world, but they decided to come together and do hundreds of push-ups because why not? And someone who was on the team who participated in this activity after it was completed said, I never would have done that if I wasn't with you. Right? I never would have done that if I wasn't with you. And when he said that, I just thought about the beauty and importance of Christian community. I think the beauty and importance of Christian community, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 24, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, For he who promised is faithful. And led us to consider how to stir one another to love and good works. Christian community is not optional. It's just not optional. Right? We are better together. I was sitting in the bus as we were traveling to the airport on Saturday morning, and I looked up and I saw Brandon Lindsay on the in the front of the bus, and about half of the bus was listening to him tell a story. He was like a grandfather with his 14 grandchildren on his lap, like telling stories. And I just looked up and I snickered, and John Krant was next to me, and I thought about Brandon, and I thought of John and Heidi. I thought of Brandon's willingness to faithfully and humbly serve when he was there. I thought of John and Heidi, how they move into places and spaces and change the atmosphere around them, right? They leave a ripple effect. They can't help it. It's just what they do. I thought of Russ over there, who's so stinking faithful, just each and every day, working hard. God has given him such a smart and intelligent mind to think and to pour in others. He was so thoughtful when he was there. He did a dozen things that nobody knows about or saw, but I saw and noticed. I thought of Phil Rowe, who lives his life with a pedal to the metal. Good night, it's exhausting. I looked up at one point, and his shirt, his blessed blue shirt, was just covered in sweat. He was jumping up and down. He was jumping into the other people as we're singing the song. And it was just practice. We weren't even in front of the kids. I'm like, you need to slow your roll. Like, you're so like, whew. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, he just lives life like pedal to the metal all in. And I just think, man, praise God for that. I think about the students who were on the trip and hearing them talk about how God was forming and shaping their faith. And I was thinking back to when I was their age, and I was going, God, thank you so much for the work you're doing in their hearts and in their lives. I think of Billy Gwaltney when we were participating in this pastor's conference for a half a day, and we did Billy and I went to some homes of the pastors and local villages, and we got to the Life Center early. We had about 30, 45 minutes before Billy and I were to leave and go to this village. And I look up, and Billy is in his, he's in his dress pants with his shirt tucked in, and he's got a shovel. And he's just working. And I'm just going, God, like, praise God for these people. Like, what a joy it is to walk alongside of them and rub shoulders with them. And I was reminded of how desperate I am for them. I am a desperate man for Christian community. You want to train wreck your life, you pull away from community and you go at it alone. And one of the ways that God preserves his people is he sends godly men and women into our hearts and into our lives to encourage us. So listen, if you're going to do push-ups, don't do push-ups alone. Right? Invite other people to be a part. Secondly, you have 11 seconds. You have 11 seconds. We're in Atlanta. We're at the airport, and we are going from one terminal to the next, and we're waiting for the train to come. And there's half of us on the escalator going down, and the other half of the team is standing by the train. And John Krant, who you may have noticed does not have the softest voice in the land, looks up at Heidi as she is coming down the escalator and says, Heidi, 11 seconds! 11 seconds! And we're like, we're coming. We're coming. We're going to be there. And he said that, and I thought to myself that all of us are on the clock. We're on the clock. You know how many seconds you have. You don't know how many minutes or hours or days. But you and I are on the clock. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Make them count. Make them count. It doesn't mean live a frazzled life, but live a life on purpose. God's given you and me a certain amount of time. Make the most of it. 11 seconds. Make them count. Last, finish well, but you're not finished. About Wednesday last week, we started praying. I heard it from others. I prayed it myself. I'm like, Lord, help us to finish well. Because at that moment, the interns still liked us. And I was thinking to myself, let's not mess it up. Right? Let's finish well. Let's not quit. Right? Let's give it everything that we have. And someone, I think it was on Thursday or Friday, said, Lord, help us to finish well. And when this person prayed that, I thought to myself, yeah, I want that. I want to finish well, but this is not the end. Right? We are not finished. We did that for a week, and we completed it. We are grateful for it, but we are not done yet. Paul says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. When I was graduating from high school, I wrote this verse in my yearbook. I had just turned 18 years old. Finished the race. I'm just thinking, shoot, I'm just getting started. Right, I want to finish the race well, and I want you to finish the race well. But if you are here this morning and you have breath, you are not finished. Not yet. Not yet. So my prayer for you and my prayer for me is that we would finish well, but in the meantime, that we would live lives of purpose, that we would take our 11 seconds or 11 days or 11 years, and we would live them in the context of Christian community for the glory of God. I want to give you a picture of what took place when we were in Honduras. And so I want you to watch this video so you can see what God has done. To love. you pray with me? God, I pray that that would be our prayer this morning, that that we would follow you anywhere, whatever it costs us, wherever you lead us. Jesus, we love you. And I want to say this morning that all we want is you. So more and more, give us yourself. That is all we need. God, we love you. We pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.